Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's good?
Yo, what up, family?
What's up? What's good? You got to
bear with me
for a minute.
Huh?
I said you have to bear with me for a minute. I'm having technical difficulties.
Oh, okay. Well, we shall
actually, I'm looking for my earphones, so I'm good. I'm good right now. I'm just looking for them, and I can't find them for some reason.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I'm not happy right now.
I'm feeling you. Well, on that note, in the meantime, good up, everyone. It is Big Bread and Brother B, and we are back with the menu on Blog Talk Radio. What up, everybody? How y'all doing? Hope all is well. How you doing, Red, besides you being a little unhappy right now? Red.
But
Red.
Heard right now. Yeah.
I know you said that.
I said I was about to enjoy a cookie, but now I'm perturbed. So.
You're about to enjoy a cookie. Okay. All right. So. Gotcha.
But I'm good. I'm good, though.
You good. You good. Okay.
How you doing,
you
buddy?
Good. I'm all right. How you doing, Lady T? Introduce.
How y'all doing? Could be better. Got distracted with this Morris Chestnut show on Channel 5.
Morris Chestnut? Well, you got another show?
He's playing a doctor. I don't know. I'm just looking at it on mute right now. It looks good.
Yeah, but she's
playing more a doctor.
She ain't worried about the actual show. She worried about more.
Exactly.
Oh, Lord. Here we
that
go.
Chocolate,
Ricky!
That chocolate. Yeah, that chocolate, man.
Ricky!
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
But
what's
wait a
up,
minute.
Y'all?
I didn't know he had a new show.
Yeah, he's a doctor in this show. Pretty good.
Okay. Well, I like Morris Chestnut. He's always been an actor.
I didn't
a survivor.
Know
he's a veteran actor, yeah.
Okay. That's what's up. Yeah, we know you know.
Ricky! Ricky!
Unbelievable. Once again, this is the menu, y'all. Big Red Brother B, guest star and Lady T in the house. Just call the number 347-324-3395. Once again, that's 347-324-3395. So, our topic for tonight. Yeah. Generation Softie. Anybody care to set this one off?
You said Generation Softie?
Yeah, Generation Softie.
It's soft.
Everybody all up in their feelings. This should be a good one tonight. Because, you know, before I go in, I just want to give everybody the opportunity to, you know, say what they got to say.
And that's a real good way you described it.
I think, yeah, they're versus, you know, everybody's in their feelings because you know,
Red, you all right over there?
Huh?
Do we have to come get you? I said, you all right over there? Do we have to come get you?
Yeah. Nobody heard anything I said?
No, I heard it. I mean, you just sound a little distant right now. You sound like you don't want to play.
Oh, no.
You know, you don't have, you know, playing our sandbox. Okay.
Hello, who?
Just checking. It sounds like you don't want to come play in the sandbox. You sound far away.
Play in the sandbox. Oh, I don't know about that, but this generation is, you know, they worried about what everybody else got, and that's their problem because Lady T may not, you know, agree with me, but, you know, social media. That's their main problem because they're busy looking at what everybody got on social media and how much money this one got and this one on Snapchat with this and that and the other. So it's like, oh, because I don't have that or that person is showing that or, oh, because he don't have it, then they're getting their feelings. Oh, he got this and he got that. Well, why I can't get that? Oh, that, you know, he ugly, but why he got that pretty girlfriend and this? That. It's like, come on, like everything is not for everybody. And you can't get in your feelings about that every time you see somebody with something and, you know, that's what you call, that's part of them being on soft and stuff because you think you're supposed to have what everybody else have. No. And then if you have an opinion about something, oh, you a hater. No. That's what it's called. You're supposed to have debates with people. You're supposed to have, I'm not supposed to agree with you all the time, whether we friends or not. I don't have to agree with you just because you said this is that and the other. I don't have to agree with you all the time. But if you don't
Lady
agree
T.
with the masses, then you get hated.
True. Lady T.
I mean, social media plays a part of it, but how long can we keep on blaming social media also? I also think, and it's not just the parents, but the lack of guidance overall from adults that are around these kids. It's also a lack of self-esteem, a lot of them. And everything is a competition pretty much with this generation. So it concerns me about the next generations. I got nieces that are like 5 and 8 and my daughter and things like that. So it's like right now, even with my sisters, we instill self-confidence, self-worth and things like that. They may not get it now, but best believe they'll understand it by a certain age. Because that's the way my grandmothers was with me. That's the way my mom was with me, regardless of if I could understand it or not. Trust me, by a certain age, I got what they were trying to say.
Well, I mean, of course, all right. I mean, from our generation, I mean, yeah, it took time to sink in because, you know, we were growing up, you know, we had to learn certain things. And then you get to a certain age, you sit back and be like, damn. Mama was right, or damn, you know, grandma was right, or whatever. You know, you sit back and you realize that. But once again, that came with growth. Nowadays, I think a lot of people out there, they're not really growing. Like, it seems like people have more opinion and attitude than anything, than actually trying to look at themselves. Or like they, you know, they're taking in information and then be like, okay, I can learn from this. Because some of these kids out here, so this is the generation, they seem to think they know everything. They seem to think they know it all. They turn on their phone and they read something, they know it all. They see something, they know it all. You know what I'm saying? In all actuality, they read a lot of this stuff for those who can read properly. They read this stuff and then they're not educating themselves with who wrote it, where it came from. You know what I'm saying? They're not looking at the source of the information that they're getting. So, I mean, I have a serious issue with this generation because, or not so much this generation, I have to say, but it just seems like society as a whole is turning into this whole, like, you know, sensitive to the touch as a bunch of pansies, you know, a bunch of punks. You can't say anything against what anybody else has to say. You know what I'm saying? Call 86 96. You're on the air with the menu. What's up?
Hey, Ron Wright, L. Bay. What's up, brother?
Oh, what's up, brother? What's up?
I finally made it.
Yes, yes. Yes, you did. Welcome. How you doing?
Hey, brother. I'm hanging in
there. For those who don't know, Mr. L. Bay is a good friend. A good friend. And
okay. Hello.
I'm interested in. Yeah. And I'm interested to hear. Yeah, we got you, Red. And I'm interested to hear your opinion on this topic right here, sir.
Well, it's what happens when you let foreigners educate your kids. European, you know, American society, like how we let them educate our kids. Like, if you see the examples of the Jews and the Asians, they teach them about American stuff, but they also teach them about their culture. You know what I'm saying? So there are Asian schools. There are Asian schools here in America, especially on the West Coast. Oh my God, West Coast in Texas. of course, you know there's Jewish schools. You know, so they have a sense of humility. They have a sense of self, and they also live a different lifestyle that we live. You know. The generation, it's soft because we have to take accountability for it. You know what I mean? We have to take, and as far as black, and I speak about the black people, you know, melanated people of African origins, you know, that's what it is. We have to take responsibility for this generation being soft. You know, we got, you know, this is what happens when you let, you know, vanilla people raise your kids.
Well, let me ask. All right, let me ask y'all this, and to get on that point. So, Red, I want you to set it off, and then Lady T.
Okay.
So, do you think now to everybody here who's kind of like, I guess you know, I would assume is in their 40s. Do you think that we failed the current generation?
I'll say some of us have. I feel that some of us have, because I'll say this, and I'm kind of guilty of it too, because we tried to give our kids things that our parents didn't give us or didn't do for us. And it's like we kind of said, well, you know what? Since my parent didn't do this for me when I was younger, this is what I'm going to do for you. Or I'm going to do this different because I don't want to do it the way my mom did it or my father did it, because the way it made me feel when this happened. So we kind of did that. We, you know, like I said, some of us have, and I'm kind, you know, I'm guilty of it too, where I've done certain things with my sons, and now I'm like, you know, on some like, yo, this is why you spoiled like this, but you know what? It's my fault that you like this. And once again, it's about accountability. You have to take accountability for that. Now, I'm not going to say it can be reversed, but it can be corrected if you correct it at a certain time. But if you continue the behavior, then it's not. Then that's when you get the ones that, like I said, they get on this thing of where they have an entitlement. Like, oh, I'm supposed to have this, or the world's supposed to revolve around me, or, you know, you supposed to make dinner for me. No, I ain't supposed to do nothing. Somebody got a case and it's supposed to, because I ain't supposed to do nothing.
Okay. Lady T. Bravo.
Yeah, that's mama.
Bravo, Big Red. Bravo.
That's mama. That's mama. And that mama right there.
Big Red said it exactly like what I was thinking. So yes, and some of us have failed, so not even going to go against mama right now. She's 100% right.
And you know what's crazy? It's like with that attitude, thinking that we are maybe trying to do better than our parents, or we'll do better, or give the kids better, and all actuality, yeah. I mean, I agree. I think we messed them up. I think we spoiled them. Because if you look at it in hindsight, there was nothing wrong with how we grew up. There was nothing wrong with us being told no. There was nothing wrong with us getting our asses whipped. There was nothing wrong with, you know, being forced to say, hey, if you don't do this, then your ass ain't going to do that. There ain't nothing wrong with that, but we keep bending the rules because some of us are trying to be more of a friend than the parent to some of these kids.
Right.
And,
but then you have society that did that as well in terms of, like you said, like with ACS and stuff like that. It's, you know, they, you know, once again, yes, you know, you got to reprimand your child sometimes, but they made it to the point where you can't even, you know, oh, you're not supposed to touch that, you're not supposed to do this, not supposed to. Listen, well, how is the child going to learn certain things if you don't reprimand them in some type of way?
Well,
no, you know, abusing them, that's different.
Red, you going to speak on that? Red?
Huh?
Well,
yes.
No, well, this is Brother B. All I'm going to say is pass it off to you, El Bay. All I can say with that one is, it's interesting how it's become the change, like over time it's become this changing of the guard. It's like they use a reason. Okay, well, people are abusing their kids, so we're just going to say, hey, you beat your kid, you know, you're going to jail. Like, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And it's like, wait a minute, hold on. People, kids been getting their asses for the longest. Now, all of a sudden, now you're going to hold the parents accountable for disciplining them. It's kind of like when, you know, Cuomo, when the Sandy Hook tragedy happened, and that was in Connecticut. But yet Cuomo, the governor of New York, decided to tell everyone, you know, firearm owners, hey, you can only have 7 rounds in your guns. Wait a minute, hold on. I mean, I know that's like a harsh example, but it's like, wait a minute. This didn't happen in New York. You're the governor of New York. Why are you making such a drastic decision that has nothing to do with, you know what I'm saying? And this is the same thing they're doing. So you're trying to say one parent, you beat your kid, and it's abuse, but there's other kids being found in the goddamn closet, and yet you're still giving these parents, oh, well, you can have your kid back. Oh, yeah, we didn't find anything wrong. Like somebody's dropping the soap. I mean, dropping the soap and the rope on every damn thing. But, El Bay, you take it away.
What it is from a perspective, it's a chess move. What happened in Sandy Hook, you know it can happen in New York. It happened in New York. It can happen in Jersey. And gun violence, you know, all that is mental illness. It's mental illness that's brought on by white supremacy. White supremacy begets mental illness in black people, melanated people of African origin. That's why we not in our right minds. We wrong thinking. We get the wrong results because we think wrong. When you go back and you study ancient Sumer, when you study ancient Egypt, I haven't seen all of the hieroglyphs, but there's no hieroglyphs on the wall where they're disciplining their children with whips, with belts. What happens is that was a form of punishment for criminals in ancient Egypt. You understand what I'm saying? So today, if you bring that up today is we out of touch with our culture. Not all of us are Egyptian, but a lot of us come from Africa directly. So what happens is mental illness is caused by white supremacy. White supremacy, white domination causes us to implode. So by we causing us to implode, we don't implode on white people like we used to in the 50s, in the 40s, in the 60s. You know, we implode on each other. That's why inner city crime, where blacks live, that's why the crime rate is so high, because we implode on each other. You know what I mean? A lot of blacks, they don't go out to the suburbs and attack white people. They don't go out to the suburbs and attack cops. They don't do that. And cops is the main one killing us. Not to say that we should kill cops, but what it is, we think wrong. So when you destroy white supremacy, you can restructure your generation or your future generation. When the ACS thing, the whole ACS thing is, they lean on the parents because the parents are property of the state too. as long as you get a check, as long as you spend money, as long as you got a credit card, as long as you sign, say you're a citizen of the United States, you're a property of the government. So by you being property of the government controls you. That's why the government. That's why the government says, you know, the military protects land, the police, the state troopers protect borders, the local police protect property. You, they still have that in the line of you bearing the right to bear arms to defend yourself. Now you can defend yourself, but what happens is more black people that are coming into the understanding of that. So what the thing of Sandy Hook is, like, they don't want people who are not mentally capable of having firearms. So since we're mentally ill because of white supremacy and we imploding on ourselves and each other, this is why Cuomo comes down and says, hey, hey, boom. You know what I mean? You know, since blacks are killing each other, you're destroying property. So if the state looks at us as property, you're destroying their money. We're money to them. You understand what I'm saying? Because we keep the force, we keep the system going, white supremacy going. That's why a lot of us ain't dead, because we help white supremacy. But if we destroyed white supremacy or neutralized it by having black supremacy, taking care of our own businesses, taking care of our own families, taking care of our own communities, not killing each other, not having drugs sold in our communities, on our street corners, we can take back our children. We can take back, as black men, we can take back the respect of our women and our children. But you can't do that by thinking the way that we do. It all starts at right. It starts at right thinking. When you're thinking right, you do right. When you do right, you gravitate to right knowledge. When you gravitate to right knowledge, you gather right wisdom, and you have the right understanding, so you can have the right behavior, and then the right behavior begets right living. So that's in a nutshell. It's your thinking.
Well, I mean, I feel where you're coming from on that. You know, my thing is, when we get into the generation, so it's like, really, it goes beyond to a degree of the whole color thing, but if we have to look at, like, black people as a whole, I think it's beyond the thing of, like, softy. It gets to the point where we're just not educating ourselves on certain things, and we're kind of just, like, going with the flow of everything we see or what we see.
When you said education, European education makes us stupid. European education has made black people stupid. Not to say that you shouldn't read, but the type of information that leads to our wrong thinking. You understand what I'm saying?
We're
being taught the wrong information.
We choose to go with the BS instead of going with what's real. And see, that society as a whole has become like the lazy. It's like, well, I'd rather go the smooth route than the rough route. Mm-hmm. Like, remember back
but
in there, the days, you had books in the house. You had a bunch of, like, if you needed to look up something, you had a dictionary, you had thesauruses, you had all these books in there. Now all of a sudden, people have the option to go to their phone and look up something. And it kind of, you know, there's a big difference between looking on your phone and actually skimming through the pages of a book.
Right.
Like you cut the work ethic. And I think that's where that laziness breeds that attitude of, like, entitlement in a way. Like, well, listen, I have this. I don't have to do that. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't need to pick up a book when I can just listen to it. Or I don't have to, you know,
I don't have to go to the library at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
I don't have to write it. I can just use speech to text. You know what I'm saying?
A lot of us, when you speak, accountability, to me, accountability starts with conversation. Like, you can talk about society. I call a dog a dog. If that's the name, I call a cat a cat. Our people got to be accountable. Ever since we've embraced certain types of technology, a lot of us forgot how we learn. There are some of us that are oral, some of us are oral, some of us are literal, some of us are hands-on. You got to take it back. You take it back when you study. When you study about this, and this is the purpose why you have to go back and study about ancient, our ancient civilizations that we built. There was a lot of cats that didn't have books. You understand what I'm saying? We didn't. A lot of us didn't have books. When you go back, when you go to Guinea Bissau, the Benin, you go to Zanzibar and Timbuktu. That's over there. A lot of them didn't have. So how did they do so much? How did they create universities? How did they
hands on?
How did they do surgery? Open heart surgery, brain surgery.
Hands on.
Timbuktu. And you go back to ancient Sumer. You go back to ancient Sumer. I meant to Sumerian because Abraham in the Bible, Abraham is a Sumerian. You go back to ancient Sumerian. They were the ones that walked and talked with God. They didn't have books. they didn't have books. So how did they learn? So it was like educating ourselves. You take the context of it, informing ourselves of us. Everybody in every culture and every major race, Asian and Caucasian, Caucasian intelligence, African intelligence, Asian intelligence. Everybody picks a side. We ain't even got to deal with race. We're dealing with intelligence. Everybody in their race, we're first. We're first.
Well, if you're talking intelligence, that's kind of a lost art. But hold on, let me pass it over to K-Dog.
I'm sorry, K-Dog.
What's up? Nah, it's all right, bud. All right.
Hey, what's good? What's good, everybody? Listen, let me just get straight to the point with today's generation. Today's generation is totally different from the times that we were growing up. You know, we didn't have all this modern technology. I mean, it was just starting out. Like, okay, you had the computer, and you had the World Wide Web that was just coming in. But, however, you still had books. And at home, you still had education. And I'm not talking about academic education. I'm talking about education you received from your family at home. You know, where your parents installed certain things inside of you that will last a lifetime, certain disciplines, like how to talk, how to act, you know, what to do. And, of course, when it comes to, like, literature, you had books in the home, you had the encyclopedia, the dictionary, and also people used to go to the library to read books. But this generation, people still do go to the library, but guess what they do? They sit on their computers, or they sit on their phones, their tablets, whatever have you, that's what they'll sit around and do. Now,
right, they hardly use books.
Yeah, they hardly use books because with this generation, what has made us lazy is modern technology, because you know why? They would much rather go on social media to get information. You know, they go on social media for everything, and I've said this on the Absolute Truth Show, and Hot Rod thinks I'm attacking social media, which I'm not attacking. It's the way that people use social media. I mean, these young people
I'll
out here
that
today.
Too.
These young people out here today. What are they doing? Are you going to the bookstore? Are you actually picking up a real book to read, or the book makes enough sense to you to understand? And that's not a good thing. This generation has become too relaxed.
Yeah, they don't want to do that.
I gotta go with something and real quick, and then I gotta pass it to Lady T and back to Brent. Now, I think there's a big misconception, and Elbe just threw a key word in there: intelligence. Some people mistaken smarts for being intelligent, and it's two totally different things.
Exactly.
I think a lot of people, you know, they think that they can read something or they see something, and you know they may call themselves educating themselves on a topic, but true education, in my opinion, comes with, once again, you research the source of information, you know, that you're getting. You don't just take it as like that's the word and that's that. You research to make sure, like, you know, what's right is right, what you read, which to me is a sign of intelligence. Some people just think, well, I read this and I read that, oh, I'm smart. That doesn't make you smart. And damn sure doesn't make you intelligent. But
nope.
I think people start to, you know, they do certain things like, oh, well, I opened the bookstore, so I'm smart. Oh, I did this. I invested my money here, so I'm smart. No, you're just the person that's kind of conscious of, you know, how you spend your money, and you're a person that, you know, just felt like, hey, I just wanted to open up something so that way I can, you know, have my own thing. You know, you're mm-hmm. conscious of having your own, but it doesn't make you smart, and it doesn't, damn sure doesn't make you intelligent, because, I mean, to me, it's all ego-related, and nowadays, it seems like everything is just a lot of ego-related. You know, I'm not going to listen to Lady T tell me about chicken, because it's like, well, you don't eat damn chicken, so what could you tell me about chicken?
I used to. I don't eat it anymore. You're right.
Exactly. But that's the thing. I'm not even thinking about you saying you used to. I'm just thinking about what you don't do now. Like you could, mm-hmm. like you never ate chicken before in your life, so you don't never know. You don't know anything about it. That's how people, like some of these conversations that I have with people out here, they really seem to think that they have to own the conversation by mm-hmm. kind of reverse flipping it. Like, you don't know this, even though you've done that, you don't really know it. Like,
right.
you're a teacher, but I know about school. What do
mm-hmm.
you know about school? Well, I know that, you know, this, that, and the third. But wait a minute.
All I have to do is just check my phone and I could find the information. That's the bad.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, so wait a minute. So Lady T, you trying to tell me what you're telling me now is more sound than what's on Facebook or what's on Instagram or what somebody posted? Nah, I believe them and not you. I mean, you correct me if I'm wrong, Lady T. Like, what do you think about that? Because there is a big absence of intelligence.
Yeah, I get what you're saying with that. In my opinion, there's three different types of knowledge in history. You have, of course, your academics, whatever degrees or so forth, diplomas that you got. And then there's pretty much hands-on experience.
Right.
So all that academic stuff, because I know people who have master's degrees and they did see it in EVA, that's just for social status, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Then when I'm talking about as far as your history, not all of us are Americans and not all of our ancestors are from America. So a lot of us should know our history, especially from where our parents came from and so forth, because there's different kind of teachings through that,
mm-hmm.
through the ancestors. You know what I mean? So as far as hands-on experience, your parents could tell you to do this, this, and this like that, but you may go out there and do something totally different. And going back to, like, ACS, I remember in the 90s, before ACS was as big as it is right now, just like the gentleman said, it's pretty much a corporation or however you want to describe it, because they do own your kids in a sense. Because I remember back in the 90s, there was something called PINS. And, you know, kids are disruptive and stuff like that as they're going into junior high school and things like that. And they would target, like, a lot of, you know, parents, like, oh, you should put pins on your kid. And these parents are thinking, okay, you know, he or she is out of control anyway. Maybe this might work. Not realizing that some of these young black men ended up in group homes and things like that. Not realizing, you know, what it's called person in need of supervision. I don't know if they still have
mm-hmm.
that now or
they
if they
do.
Turned they it into
They still have it.
Okay.
They still have it. And
so they do. Okay. And a lot of people will think, you know what? Yeah, they would think, you know, this is something good, but it's really not, because I know certain kids that parents put pins on them, these kids ended up in the jail system afterwards. So it doesn't
mm-hmm.
get better. You know what I mean? It's really, really sad. So parents do have to take some sort of responsibility on how you're, you know, taking care of your kid. And certain things for me personally, certain things that was passed down from generation to generation, I take bits and pieces of it and instill that with my daughter. because certain teachings, I realized, you know what, every single day I had to come home after school and read a book before I did my homework. I'm thinking, I got homework to do. Why do I need to read all these books that my grandmother had on the bookshelf? She would have for all of us. You guys have to read one book every single day. But I understand the discipline with it.
Right.
What do you think,
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. I agree with Lady T. Totally. It's a lot of things have to be, you know, like I said, what we were taught, like, that's hands-on. Like, I used to tell my sons all the time, like, oh, my, how do you get so-and-so? I said, if you didn't have Google or anything, how would you know how to get certain places? I said, you know how I learned? My mother told me, take this bus to this bus, look for this mm-hmm. sign, look for that sign, this, that, and other, and I did what I had to do. We didn't have Google at all.
Nope.
There was no Google Maps. There was none of that.
You just
have to go off of what your parents told you how to get to. And I always used to tell my children, look at landmarks. Look at a certain landmark. Certain landmarks don't change.
Ask somebody. You know, ask,
well,
you know,
I mean,
somebody.
That can work sometimes, but, you know, I'm the type of person, I don't like asking people. I'm just, like, if I really get to a point where I get stuck, I may ask somebody. But, see, I look at landmarks. I watch for street signs, landmarks, and stuff like that, because certain landmarks don't change. So I used to tell them that's how you can learn how to get places, and you don't have to ask somebody all the time, because if this particular landmark is still there years later, then you know, oh, okay, if I go right here, or I know around the corner that place is here, or this bus stop is here, or whatever. So,
exactly.
You know, a lot of our teachings, that's the thing. We got taught that way. And just as Lady T said, just because you're book smart and being, I'll say, for lack of a better word, street smart is two different things. Because guess what? You can read all the books you want to. You can say you don't have to read all those books to learn about people. You can watch a person. You can tell by body mannerisms and their facial expressions and what they say. And I teach my children that too. Watch when people say things. Just look at what they say. Watch how they say it. Look how their facial expressions. Look
mm-hmm.
how their body language is. You know if that person is lying or they're being sincere or they're full of BS or whatever.
I
so, you know,
like
we have to.
Is so far removed. I think that's like
right.
The so far removed
oh,
right
man.
Now.
So
but
far.
Yes, because
so
you,
far.
But like I said, our generation, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think that our generation learned far more better than this generation now is learning, because especially when you have. If the parents are clueless about something, what are they going to teach their children?
Right.
There's some truth to that. There's some truth to that, but you got to take an account. I mean, like, you go back to Zanzibar, you go back to Africa. They had less and did more. We had more than they had and still do less because of
mm-hmm.
we're under a different regime. You know what I'm saying? We're under white supremacy. And the books that we read in the 50s, or not the 50s, but the 60s and 70s, you understand what I'm saying? A lot of that stuff was white people. When you every time you read a book and it has an author's name on it, it's that person's opinion. It might have 20% facts in it. It might have 40% facts in it. Or whatever ratio it is, but it's an authored by a person with their opinion. You know what I mean?
But I'll say this in that matter. That mm-hmm. is why I'm thankful that you know what some parents would do? Whatever it is that was not written in those history books, they would mm-hmm. add something to it.
Yeah, some
that's
would,
what
yeah.
some parents yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I think it's also an issue.
Definitely.
I think what also is the fact that we are not allowed to be parents anymore. That's the problem.
To
it's
be
like
what?
You're not allowed to be parents anymore.
That's
like the
why
system
supremacy.
Society doesn't want you to be.
That's,
yeah, but they don't want you to be parents anymore. They want you
yeah.
to that, just
you,
like
I'm
be
not
the gardener.
You're wrong.
They don't want you to teach. They don't want you to teach the kids. They don't want you to teach
I'm
the kids.
Saying.
And the whole thing is to see we don't run society like that. So it's sad when we even have to keep going back to the whole issue of like white supremacy or color or whatever. But
we don't run
anything to be able to say that hey, we have a strong hand in this. The sad part is what we do is we just kind of let it go to the wayside. We just got to
take
back.
Well, that's when you
got to
take back your communities, take back
exactly.
Educating the kids. Certain kids, when you see them going off the road, you might want to drop some jewels on them. There's actually certain people in the communities who, let's say, been in jail and things like that, and they may see young brothers on these street corners, they educate them. These guys actually listen. Some of them, you know what I mean? So it goes, you can't save everybody, but what about looking after your community? Because they would love for the black men to be in jail. Then how are you going to produce?
The whole thing about blacks being in jail, is because of the intelligence factor and purpose. I remember in eighth grade, I grew up in Mount Vernon. I remember when crack hit. And crack hit like a quiet wave. If you were in tune to the street and didn't see what was going on, if you didn't watch TV, see what was going on, like, say, like Miami Vice or whatever show at the time that dealt with crack, it came over your community like a quiet wave. The easy way out was money. And people were intelligent enough. Some people who did that, who sold drugs to that community, it was stupid, but they were intelligent enough to be like, oh, look, I want to get this money. And those who went and did it, the intelligence is there. You didn't learn how to make crack in a book. You learned how to make crack from your man. You learn how to separate whatever from your man or a girl or a crackhead. They taught you how to cook rock. You understand what I'm saying? So we keep going back. We keep going back to education. And I said education made African people stupid. It made them stupid because it wasn't our thing. It wasn't our information. It wasn't our people with their opinion. We need people with our opinion who read their book. A lot of kids failed out of school. A lot of kids quit school because they didn't see themselves in those books from first grade. From kindergarten, they didn't see themselves. Johnny ran fast. It wasn't Raheem. Shahida. It wasn't Shahida. It was Jane. You understand what I'm saying? So it's like if you talk about controlling your community, you got to control the information. In order to control the information, you have to get into that school system. In order to get into that school system, it takes wealth. And we have to make sacrifices. We got to make sacrifices. You can't celebrate, and it's crazy.
And it goes back to what you said at the top of the show with how the Jews do with their schools and so forth.
They make sacrifices. It's like, yo, look, this Jew shit, it might not be real in the world, but it's real to us. It might not be the truth on a global stand, but it's the truth for us here around the world. Anywhere you go, people acknowledge a Jew. You understand what I'm saying? So what it is, everywhere we go, we still people want to kill us. People want to marginalize us. People want to put us in jail. People are afraid of us globally, not just locally or nationally, because we haven't made the sacrifice. We haven't given up. You start like giving up white supremacy, certain aspects of it. You got to give up Christmas. You got to give up Thanksgiving. You got to give up all these little crazy stuff that causes them to benefit from it. We don't benefit from white supremacy. And the moment you understand that, you know, is then the moment you start being free, and that's when the sacrifice begins. The sacrifice is not working. The sacrifice is not working 40 hours for the man. The sacrifice is working 45 hours for your own business.
Well, that's so that the problem right there too.
So your children succeeded. Your children, and that's how we learn. That's how we learn. We don't really learn from. I'm more aware of stuff now, 20 years later. Than I was when I went to college and high school. I don't know how to write a paper, but I learned how to write because of Facebook.
But you know what? But that's crazy. Okay. That's crazy.
Okay, so it's a gift and a curse with the internet.
Wow, gift and a curse, yeah. But how about that about social media? So it's been a gift and a curse.
Yeah, I looked at some of my stuff in 2019. Oh, my God. It's purpose. It's purpose. I came alive in 2003. It's because of the purpose of learning. When I was in high school, when I was in junior high, only thing I had on my mind was girls. Girls and graffiti. That's all I had on my mind. Girls and graffiti. And grown women at that. I didn't want to look at no girl my age. I was like, girl my age, you better get away from me. You better get away from me. And the crazy thing, I was a skinny, light skinny kid with big glasses. I was the ugly duckling. You know what I'm saying? But let me tell you this. Almost any chick that I wanted, I got. Almost any chick, if she was older than me, I got her. I could have been in sixth grade. I could have been in seventh grade. You know,
I want to know how you got her.
It was purpose. It was purpose. Mm-mm. It was easy to talk to a grown woman. I grew up with older people. All of my babysitters were grown. I never had a babysitter who was a teenager. All of my babysitters were in their 20s or might have been 19. And you know, I'm looking at them side eye like, hey, you know, I was a perv. But because of the perversion, it was a person. You laugh. Hold on. This is the purpose. It's the purpose. And this is the understanding and the meeting of my intelligence. When you meet your intelligence, you find your purpose, and in your purpose, you understand what's going on. You become a conscious. You become conscious around you. Fast forward to 2003, learning, 2003, a Nubian god I shall be. And that's what I had to become to help me to be at this point now, 2020, 2019, to understand a certain type of consciousness. So even though we come here and we have our own road to travel, the whole thing is to gravitate to those who are like mine and to make that sacrifice. My daughter looked at me to this day. She says, you don't drink, you don't smoke. It's not because of religion. It's because of common sense, because I've seen what that does to people. And those three things, if you stop drinking, if you stop smoking, and you stop getting high, stop getting, because all of the drugs, if you stop doing that, you will become alive. You'll burn. Some people get high. Because my sons, they didn't understand why some people smoke crack and get high, because they can't deal with the reality of being a slave and not having no power. And they mask that. They oversex, they overdrink, they overeat because of comfort. But there's really no comfort in being a slave. There is no comfort in being a slave.
So you go around the world. Now, I guess we really hit the nail on the head with the education thing, because that's kind of spearheading the conversation, because education or educating yourself does play a key factor.
Education is supposed to sharpen your intelligence. It's supposed to sharpen your intelligence. You naturally grow.
People want to be more smart than intelligent. You know what I'm saying?
Smart is another word for intelligence. Bright. When you do it, we connect it with bright. Bright. When you hear these words, it all functions with words. Bright. You're bright. Intelligent. When you study about mathematics, when you study about metaphysics, you see energy. You see light. You know what I'm saying? The Elohim, the gods, the angels of the Bible or whatever, they see light. They see intelligence. That's why they deal with certain orders. The blue light order, the amber order, the yellow light order.
So I guess we're living in the dark ages.
Education is supposed to sharpen the intelligence that you already have. It's in you. That's why Mama said, you know right from wrong. You know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know what? Lady T.
Yeah, go ahead.
Lady T.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me. I'm cut across. Lady T, let me ask you a question. And you can
sorry,
maybe answer it, however. Huh? Oh, somebody,
I didn't hear what you said.
Going on. Okay, I was saying, now, from a person that has the background in education, educational field, do you think today's scholastic standards are doing more harm than good, or doing just enough?
No, I wouldn't say it's doing more harm than good and so forth. I feel like it's not up to date with the times, put it like that.
Okay.
I have kids that are like in fourth grade that don't even know how to read a regular clock. All they know is their digital watch. I don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Why you
exactly.
can't read
no, that out.
I thought the kid was joking, and I'm just like, I had to pause and think, like, okay, how I'm going to do this? And then the simple math, like, let's say 24 plus 14, they're doing it a different way. And I'm like, it's just, you know, 4 and 2 equals 6. You know, it's just like
right.
certain things I just feel like
right.
it's not really working. It's not working.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I think,
it's perfect.
Exactly.
It's definitely,
softy. Well, I think that's what breeds this softy-ass culture going on. Because
mm-hmm.
they're getting the minimum. They're getting the minimum. And they're going out there thinking, you know, like we're feeding more of the ego than the actual feeding to the learning process. Like we're giving them all the ego in the world to think they can go out there and do whatever, say whatever, and act however. But we're not educating them on, as Big Red said earlier, like, oh, your mama told you this. Or your mama told you how to do that. Or your daddy told you this. Or your daddy told you how to do that. Like, we're not focusing on that.
And the example, right. the example has to be there too. It's not just, I've known, and I'm sure a lot of y'all have known people whose parents were illiterate, damn near illiterate, but their kids going to be scholars and shit like that. You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly. Absolutely.
So what it is, it's not the education, it's the intelligence and the information that feeds the intelligence. You understand what I'm saying? When we was kids, kids that were born in the late 60s, 70s, when we was kids, they had softy shit things. They had softy shit programming. They had softy shit then on TV, and they didn't really have no black people. They didn't have no black people on TV really teaching shit. If you didn't watch Sesame Street or Electric Company, you didn't really see black people of that magnitude trying to teach anything. But they were teaching you some soft shit things. They were teaching you,
with the rainbow.
It's
the problem. But with the softy culture thing, it's like how
mm-hmm.
people are so caught up in their feelings, how they're so sensitive.
Yes.
Like, back in the days when we was watching George Jefferson or Archie Bunker, and they was, you know, as the elders used to say, call it, playing the dozen, you know,
mm-hmm.
nobody said, oh, my God, she calls him a cracker. And a whole bunch of white people didn't take it to the streets saying this black man
yeah.
called him a cracker. Or when he said the mm-hmm. N-word, no one took it to the streets and said, oh, my God, this white man called and said the N-word. Everybody was just looking at it as...
Don't forget the
comedy.
Favorite word, too, honky, honky.
It was no beef. People took it for
no, because you
the
know what?
Entertainment that it was. But at the same time,
yeah, and the Jefferson and
the tension. Go ahead, Kato.
The thing is, when those shows came out, All in the Family. The Jeffersons, you got to remember, this was the generation after the 1960s. This was after
the whole civil rights movement,
after the Black Power movement. Mm-hmm. And the Black Power movement was just as alive in the 70s. Because remember, when it started in the late 60s and it lasted until the 70s, because you know what? It was more than just a fad at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't a fad. It was a movement. It was an awakening. And with that generation, that's why I say this. It's not the same generation. Now you don't have that pride anymore. You don't. I could be right, I could be wrong, but this is my opinion. I don't see that kind of pride anymore.
When you
it's
say
more.
When you say when you say your opinion is your opinion, you're not right or wrong. You ain't gotta say
no, but you know what I mean. You know what
you
I mean.
See, now that right there, that goes that what you just said goes right into what I was saying. Because of what this topic is basically about. It's like he felt the need to say he could be right or he could be wrong. It's his opinion. But see, you have people out there. You have a plethora of people out there who seem to feel that even though it's his opinion, you're wrong. Because it doesn't coincide with what they're saying or how they're feeling. It doesn't coincide with their movement. It doesn't make sense in their head. So if it doesn't make sense in their head, then you're wrong. And if you say something against that, you're this, you're that, you're anti, like, you know, it's like, wait a minute, hold on.
A hater. No, it's a hater. That's first right. You're a hater.
You need to get out of, people really need to get out of the field.
No,
all this little cornball shit that needs to stop. I mean, like I said, it's not to pick on them, but it's like this Marvin's Room Drake attitude. Like, no, I'm not going to be in my feelings. I don't need to show my emotions.
No, I'm not with that. That happened too. I think with him, that's why a lot of these young, and I was saying that to myself the other day. I think that's why, I don't particularly like him, but when I listen to certain songs and the words he was saying, I think that's why a lot of that has happened also, because he's put a thing on it's okay. Not saying that it's nothing wrong with being in your feelings or having feelings as a man or whatever it is. There's nothing wrong with that. But he's made it like it's okay to be like a whiny type of in your feelings. Not like, oh, I'm, I got a little bit of feelings or whatever.
Hold on, whiny,
like, oh, my God, baby. Oh, I'm so sad.
Listen. Hold on.
I like Drake too, but hold on, man.
Take me back to the days of Tech.
If you're asking me,
take me back to the days of Teddy P, when Teddy P be like, turn him off. He meant turn him off.
He meant set him off.
If you want to get into Teddy, we can say all kind of stuff about Teddy. But
different, but anyway, yeah.
But listen, my thing is
nothing against Drake. It's nothing against Drake, but it's kind of set the tone. Like, all right, I think one of my cousins posted something on Facebook where some chick said, "Oh, if a dude ain't coming to my door crying and saying this and saying that, like, you know, what?"
Groveling. No, she wanted a guy. Yeah. She wanted a guy to be groveling at her feet and crying and blubbering and all that stuff. And all if he ain't
and
doing
if he don't
that,
do that,
he ain't
if
a real.
Do that to see what, he ain't real man.
Then get
like,
a little dog. Get a little puppy.
Yeah, exactly. Get a damn dog. Right. That's what you want.
Oh,
a puppy.
Man.
All right, hold on. Let me add my little nonsense in here. I like Drake music. First of all, I like Drake music, but he shouldn't be in the topic because he's not really a brother. You know what I mean? So I'll push that out the window.
Oh, wow.
I'll push that out the window. When you stay, and this is the sacrifice. This is a sacrifice.
You know why they put him on the scene? Because he's the all right Negro. You know, my daughters can listen to him, and my daughter can say Negro. She can say the N word, and it won't be bad. And he doesn't really say it, he's on all the shows.
A pound for pound. He's the Harry.
He's society
pound
safe.
Pound.
Right, safe Negro. Yeah, he's a safe Negro.
Watch my words. Pound for pound, he'll be the new Harry Belafonte. I swear to God.
Wow.
Harry Belafonte. Let me tell you something now. Harry Belafonte talked all that shit. Was out there with the black people, talk all that shit. You know, black this, black that. I marched with King. Meanwhile, he was sleeping with King's wife when King died. That's why, you know what I mean? So.
Oh, Lord! I didn't know that.
Oh,
Lord!
Oh, damn!
Now, look go. Oh,
shit.
Oh,
damn.
Listen to King's kids, what they used to say. Oh, that's Uncle Harry. Uncle Harry used to come around all the time.
That's always
Uncle
the
Harry.
Uncle.
Oh, my
the,
God.
He's coming around
the
all
the
time, Paul.
Mom or the auntie or whatever.
You understand what I'm saying? And
Uncle
Harry was talking all that shit, all that black shit. Meanwhile, fucking everything white and tight in Hollywood. Come on now.
Oh,
talking all that.
No, damn.
All I'm saying is.
No. I'm sorry. This is why you can't add them. You can't. He's gonna watch it, but watch my words though. He's gonna become the new Harry Belafonte. Watch him start talking about some black shit. And meanwhile, he's fucking everything.
Well,
When you talk about sensitivity, you talk about sensitivity. There's nothing wrong with being sensitive. But what you do is you show that to your woman. You show that to your family. When Malcolm talked about forming a united front, we talk behind closed doors how we feel, but when we go out into the world, we put on that mat, we put on that righteousness, like it's mentioned in the Bible. You wear righteousness. You put on the cloak of righteousness, and you step out in the world, and you put on your best face, and you defend what's yours.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? So what it is, there's nothing wrong with being sensitive. It's just he's trying to get money and pussy. That's all motherfuckers like Drake do. and even Teddy P came from somewhere that's real. You know what I'm saying? That music was real. He really loved women.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He really loved women.
My thing is
well.
Yeah, even Marvin asked what was going on and said, let's get it on, let's get it on.
Marvin had issues too. You're dealing with the balance of masculinity and femininity. You go back to genetics. The man is the broken chromosome. The woman is the whole chromosome. You can only get a part, a broken part from the whole. The man is broken. So if you add another chromosome to a man, he's supposed to be a woman. So what it is, since you're not, it's the balance. We have that in us. It's the balance of femininity and masculinity. It's
okay, listen. I'm going to have to stop you right there because Lady T... And Big Red, I ain't gonna never hear the end of what you just said. They gonna give a red
gonna hear the end of you broken. Like no, it ain't us. You broken. You know what I'm saying? Like
No.
Wait, he meant because we strengthen y'all. We the one that strengthen y'all. Sorry.
Nah, I mean that's what you don't.
Yo, bro,
we the answer.
Byron, but when you get into the science. You're stupid. When you get into the science of it, this is why we have to study. This is why we have to study not just patriarchal societies. We have to study matriarchal societies too. You understand what I'm saying?
I don't mean to cut across because I want you to finish your point. But this is the conversation now, and Red can agree. I've been saying what you just said for the longest. But there have been women that kind of disagree with me when I say women set the tone for what a lot of real men do. Like, men ain't out here sometimes just doing stuff for men. They're doing stuff to be like, hey, I got to build this. So when it's time for me to give my queen or it's time for me to give my woman, you know, this would be taken care of and then we can continue to build X, Y, and Z. It's the same way the home used to be. Yeah, exactly.
But if you're drinking and drugging, you drinking and drugging. I'm like, yo,
your focus is off.
You know what I mean? That's why I told my daughter. I said, yo, you can't drink, you can't smoke, and get high, especially if you're a woman. I don't know if people who are familiar. You should be familiar with the brother Polite.
Polite.
He goes around screaming that the black woman is God. All right. But what it is to a degree, I'm not God without her. She's not God without me. But she is a teacher. If you take away the divinity, God only means one who is in control of what he or she creates. And you can't create anything without he or she. So we're not God by ourselves. By herself, the woman is a teacher. The first teacher is a woman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. You understand
okay.
what I'm saying? Before uh-huh. you read anything, before you learn your ABCs, before you learn how to say your name, you learn how to keep your ass clean. You learn how to take care of what surrounds you. The woman teaches you that. Naturally, without books, and especially in the 70s and 60s, there was no real books about that for black people. Because a lot of them were so concerned with getting high and hanging out and working, trying to live their lives. You know what I mean? My mother, it was like my older brother didn't understand why my mother was the way she was. I said, man, she was trying to live dualities in her life. She was trying to live her life while she was still young. And
right.
then she had children.
Mm-hmm.
And right. just so happened she was in a certain type of lifestyle where she was going out to clubs, going out to bars, going out to concerts and meeting stars and all kind of shit like that. That was a big thing for her. But it was, you know what I mean? Because she was, most women, and she's not at fault, but most women who think about now. You get some of those brothers that you talked about, they're concerned with now. Especially if you're young, slim, trim, look good, getting attention of the girl. Some dudes only buy houses and cars just so they can get attention from women. You understand what I'm saying?
All right.
it's just like
I've been saying it for the longest. The woman sets
yep.
the tone.
It's like a brother. It's like young brothers. Like I used to work at this music studio. I still do. The young brothers come in there and they don't really know what it is to be a man, because you're so busy chasing a woman.
Wow.
If you were more concerned, I feel you on that. And even Charlie Murphy said, like back in the 80s, was the androgynous times where the man who looks more like a woman got a woman. But there's a science to that too. You go back. This is the importance of, if you read a fucking book, this is what you should study. You should study about us. You should study about the different languages that they speak in Africa, the different cultures. You should study about the sciences that came out of Egypt. They came out of ancient Sumer. They came out of Mesopotamia, because they were all black people. We were here 4 or 5 million years established before white people came across as an accident. You know what this sister said to me? I won't mention her name because she's an entertainer. She said, you said, ain't no light-skinned people in Africa, in ancient Egypt. You got white in you. I said, beloved, before there was Caucasian, there was light brown people. We have the ability to make albinos because that's what white people are, albinos, or clean leopards today. We have the ability to make them. They don't have the ability to make us. So, yes, we are. I do have white in me. But, if you talk about white people, I'm 2 generations removed from that because my great-great-grandfather was Caucasian. You know what I'm saying? But my people were light-skinned before granddaddy. So how do you explain that? I've seen the picture. So how do you explain that, beloved? How do you explain that? And you're talking about my bloodline. So you know what I mean? We made by accident. We made Caucasian. You know what I'm saying? When you study the science, you've got to study the science. Some of the science is in the book. When you read these Bibles, when you read these metric lectures, the science is there. You have to read it with a certain type of intelligence, of logic, objectivity, logic, and reason. You have to be.
Well, you can forget about that. You can kind of forget
mm-hmm.
about that stuff, that objectivity
mm-hmm.
thing. Because objectivity just seems to have went out the window a long time ago. A lot of people
big
are so
time.
Subjective.
No, did it go
You're
out? Did it go out with you? Did it go out with
huh?
you? It didn't go out
no.
with you. It
if
didn't
it
go out
did,
with
we wouldn't be doing this show. If it did,
no,
brother,
the whole
you know
thing. I mean, we're doing
you
a show. We doing
like you would be building. You know what I'm saying?
No,
that's
we go. We
thing.
Built regardless. We built regardless. You got to keep in mind. You got to keep in mind when the sciences were high, you still build. Matter of fact, when nothing is wrong, that's when you talk some more. That's when you build some. That's when you actually build.
But
you don't
see
build
now,
you
just
got
imagine.
Problems.
just imagine how many people listen to what you're saying. Some agree, some don't, some won't even acknowledge either A, because they just don't like the way you're coming across. B, it hurts their ego. Maybe it hurts their ego. Or it goes it goes against whatever they believe in. Because one thing I will always say, and I'm going to be a firm believer, you cannot call yourself a God-fearing person, a religious person, and still hold hate in your heart for humanity.
Well, that
is the biggest hypocritical. That is
you
the
have
biggest
to,
oh, yeah.
you
hypocritical
have to,
thing.
Yeah, of course. But you
but
have to separate.
Always been that way. But this is what it is. But this is what it is nowadays. You got the Catholic priests sleep with little boys, but yet they still doing
that,
what
that
they're doing.
Nothing,
how could you praise
nothing,
God on
but,
one
end? But still, they
that
condemn
has nothing
homosexuality.
To do.
No, it's not even about. It's, you know, it's the hypocritical. It's the hypocritical thinking that
don't
has
worry
run
about
rampant.
It, brother.
It's the hypocritical. You know what? No, it's just a discussion.
Well,
trust me, I'm not worried about it. It's just disgusting because certain things that have to be, you know what I'm saying, certain things that's one thing about the menu. We come on here, we talk about stuff that people don't really want to talk about.
Talk
about.
I have no problem with talking about it, but my thing, once the elder, it was the elder that, he was one of the priests of a certain teacher of Hebrew culture. He said, once you start thinking African, nothing else matters. I mean, we're here and we're conscious of each other. But once you start thinking about your people, I don't worry about what they're doing. They worry about homos. We were the first, just like we were the first God, we were the first devil. I said, everybody trying to be us. Even in our negative, that Lucifer was black. Lucifer was in heaven with God, and God was black. You understand what I'm saying? So, and they were light skinned people as well as other skinned people. You know what I mean? So what happens is, it's like these people who are Catholic, they're just doing what they see us do. They want to be down. They always wanted to be down. Their symbol of their culture of Roman Catholic, the Roman culture is a dog. Our symbol is nature, is man and woman. That's our symbol of divinity. You know, in the ancient Egypt, ancient Sumer, ancient Mesopotamia, whatever. You understand what I'm saying? It's like, I don't get caught up in that no more because that's their sin. Homosexuality, you have to use your intelligence to curb that. You have to say, you know, and it's hard because of all the fucked up shit we got going on. But what it is, I tell my man, don't get caught up in that. That's what they do. When they have the news, like news coming up, they used to have Channel 7 News, and they had two white men on there. They were giving you the news, but they were talking to white people. When they have ads on TV, when they have white people on certain times and certain slots, this is what programming, and this is the projection of white supremacy, the promotion of white supremacy. When they have white people on certain TV shows, on certain time slots, certain channels, promoting products, they're talking to white people. They're not talking to us. When we got certain time on BET, we got
they
black
do the
people,
same
so,
thing now. They do that now.
Yeah.
And I've been noticing that.
This has been going on for the last 50 years and more.
You're right. But I'm noticing it now because I'm older. I'm noticing it now.
Mm-hmm.
I've been noticing it for a number of years. And you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed that
for a number of
years.
The news, how they promote interracial shit. They have on the news, they have a white man and a black woman, or a black man and a white woman. And it's very rare, if at all, they have black people promoting the news, talking to black people, because you identify, well, who's before you. You identify the God, you praise who's before you. You put a white God in there, one of the things what they did in slavery was beat us into submission to worshiping them. Worshiping their entity. They didn't want us to worship us because God is us, male and female. You understand what I'm saying? We worship ourselves because ourselves, we created ourselves. That's why we don't love ourselves, because we think white is right. And we still watch the news and they promote this shit to us. And this shit reinforces the mental illness in us and causes us to think fucked up. It causes us to hate ourselves still. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, it is.
I don't want to be too one-sided. I don't want to be too one-sided when it comes down when we talk about, you know, the whole culture thing, like the softy culture thing, because, you know what I'm saying? Overall, you know, it does boil down to, you know, education and educating yourselves and
informing.
It goes back to what Ben was saying.
Saying
in the beginning about how, like, it's what both of you were saying. We're fed the wrong information. You know, these kids, this generation, are being fed wrong, you know, mentally. And they're going out there thinking that they know right when it's not right. It's actually wrong. You know what I'm saying? They're not processing the bad food that they're being given. It's not being processed correctly. You know what I'm saying? And they're going out there with their ass on their shoulders, thinking, you know, they know the world, yet they haven't been beyond their park. But once again, like we were speaking last night on our family show, you know, The Absolute Truth on Blog Talk Radio. You know, when it came down to certain things being said about certain people or certain groups, you know, certain groups seem to have this, like, you know, this attitude. Like, all right, I have to take it to the top. One of the things that was said last night. So, Dwayne Wade took this family picture, and apparently his son was in the picture with press on this. And apparently he got so much. Now, I haven't seen the picture. I don't really watch the news. I don't really
watch TV like that. I
can't really say that I care, but it was just part.
I saw the picture that was brought up.
Okay, for those that saw the picture, what did it look like? Did it look like nails? Or was it like some Halloween something? Or I mean, what was the deal?
Halloween?
No, you know that boy is coming out or
pink nails.
He came out right. It's pink nails. He came out or something like that, and they're being supportive of him. You know, coming out to whatever it is he wants to do. I don't know.
Okay, listen. It's like what I said last night. Something needs
is that
to be
his
left
blood,
in the house.
Son? Is that his blood?
Like I said last night. Certain things need to be left in the home. Discretion.
You know, Dwayne.
That's one
Dwayne,
big
Wade,
thing. That's
Dwayne,
one. That's one thing we don't practice anymore. Is discretion.
Dwayne Wade was,
and no matter what color
Dwayne
you are,
Wade,
we really don't practice discretion. It has
Dwayne Wade was dressing like that.
and I remember I saw some stuff like that. But see, some people want to mistake support for being non-discreet. And my thing is, I don't think that was the best way to support your son in the decision that he's making, the decision that he thinks he's making now at 13. Because, and somebody will probably say, oh, Brother B is a homophobic because he's saying this. No, I'm just saying think logically. He's 13 years old. He may know, he may not know, but the whole thing is this, until he knows for sure, maybe you need to keep all that under wraps to protect him.
Yeah.
From the
because
world.
Because protect him from the wolves out there.
Yeah, because I don't have a son. I don't have a son, but if that was the situation, then it is what it's going to be. But until such time when you feel you're sure in yourself and who you are, you don't need to announce it. Just be who you are and leave it at that. See, that whole thing of like kind of outing, see, that's one thing that we have to get. Once again, discretion. And people lose control of that. People don't have that. And then they want to get offended when somebody, once again, disagrees with how they feel, or they want to say, or you're anti-this because you don't support that. Listen, once again, like you said, education, it goes back to knowing the language that you're speaking. Because a lot of people just say shit, and you know what? I'm going to, Lady T, I'm going to make you proud for 2020. I'm going to download a thesaurus in my phone, and then I'm going to, when people start talking junk, I'm going to look up the word. I said, wait a minute, what did you call me? You said I'm this? Well, look, that's the proper definition of the word. It's the proper definition of the word. So what you're saying right now, you don't even understand what you're saying. Because
freedom, when you talk about freedom, that's the goal for melanated people of African origin. And freedom starts when you start defining yourself, because you mentioned thesaurus. We have to define or redefine ourselves again based on what we were taught. So we're so entrenched in European education, and you know what I mean? We forgot ourselves. We got to dig ourselves out of that ditch. Not to say that we don't acknowledge European ideologies and stuff like that, but it's about us. It's always been about us. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to, you know, there's been homo since the land of nine. You know what I mean? It's like, I expected.
It's not a big deal. That's the thing.
I
find interesting. It's not a big deal.
It's not.
So it's been going on for the longest. So what's like?
They went around the issue because the issue is us, and it came to a head. It came to a head when Obama came into office, and it got really real in the media when Wakanda came out. When Wakanda came out and 12 Years a Slave, 12 Years a Slave came out, and then Wakanda came out. You see the polarities of that, and then what happens is like all this black shit came out in between. You see, what it is, since we have no power, you can't say nothing. If you can't say nothing, nobody respects you. See, it don't take a lot of people to build a fire. You know, when you build a fire, you can build a place of residency. You build a place of residency, you need some land. There's black people, plenty of black people with land. You know what I mean? Simple stuff like that. We got to get out of those, how we define ourselves. That's the sacrifice. You know... I see brothers and sisters that date outside of their race because they don't know how to talk to their own. This one brother said to me, I work in a strip club. This one brother said to me, oh, I like white women because they're freaky, or I like Spanish women because they're such and such a way. I said, brother, more for me. I never had a problem looking for that type of energy from sisters.
Mm-hmm.
You just ain't found your way. You know what I mean? You looking for an excuse to look for a friend. Black woman got a backbone, and she is the reflection of you, and she's not going to let you do no dumb shit if you're dealing with a right kind of
person. Yeah, but see, men like that think we have attitudes. No, we have attitudes because we have an opinion or whatever. No, that's fine. But that's fine. But men like that, they'll say that, oh, well, black women, oh, just because we have an opinion or we don't agree with what you agree with, then it's we have an attitude or we acting like itches and all
the
other stuff.
You're angry. No, you're
I'm
angry. You know
what
they look at you as? They say that you're an angry black woman.
Yeah,
and
angry black
woman.
And why am I angry? Why am I angry? Why am I angry because I'm not agreeing with you? That's not being angry.
No,
that shows that you're ignorant.
No, no. You goddamn right. A black woman in this world, anywhere in this world, has a right to have an attitude with a black man because you have no fucking power. You let these white men just do anything they want to us, and you think she's not going to say nothing? Hell yeah, she has a right to have an attitude. I grew up with a bunch of women.
Hold on. So this is the caller.
Mm-hmm.
Caller 7244. You on the air with the menu?
Hey, what's going on, family? How y'all
doing?
What's
up, brother? Sorry for the
delay.
Hello,
what's
man.
Up?
I just saw your number there. Sorry for the delay.
Brother,
Nothing much, man.
You know, this sounds to be, you know, a good conversation. And I think what I saw was Generation Softy, and you think about the movement to effeminize our black men, and you know the passive nature that has been basically okay, and it's something that definitely should be checked inside conversations such as these, and maybe other conversations, and going a step further, going to hold accountability where certain organizations within our communities are starting to be set up to now install or embed processes within us as, you know, black men, black boys, growing up with a code of accountability. because we do know that there are soft-ass movements out here that enforce a standard. They have accountability. Even if it be something very warped, you know, it's still formulated, and I think it is very important for us that say we are proud black men, and say we are proud and black here in America, and also worldwide, to start to unify ourselves and start to identify ourselves on who we were. Because while you guys were talking, you know, something kind of stood out in the back of my mind. Everybody, you know, the majority of people that I know are taught how to be a man via American standards. And America had never basically liked, fucked with us as black folks, you know, and us as black men. Even when you look at the industrial prison complex, we are thrown in jail. We've been thrown in jail for marijuana for how many years? We've lost our lives, but now you have young, you know, white boys coming up making $1 million off, you know, the marijuana industry. You see the heroin epidemic hitting the streets of white America now, in worse proportions, probably in some places as crack did. But you don't see a war on drugs. You don't see a overwhelming attention that's highlighted to this. So this kind of shows us what type of playing field we are on, and it is one that should kind of make us come to our senses, have and engage in conversations such as these, and like I said, start to set up some accountable standard processes so we can, you know, ensure the quality of man that is presented in our family, in our household, and also in our, you know, in our communities. And I say the same for our women, but I can't speak for, you know, those women because I'm a brother. So, you know, I would say, you know, it would be great if we had those men's societies and also women's societies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, and I'm glad you brought that up, it's like this. It's like when you brought up the crack epidemic, the reason why they had to start the drug war, because you know what, it was affecting them, because their kids started to get addicted to it, and that was the only reason why. Now, you look at this generation, like I said before, the pride that we had, the pride that our parents had, is literally gone in this generation. We don't have that pride no more. We don't have that respect for ourselves anymore. It's all gone out the window. You know, it's all gone out the window.
No, we got respect for ourselves. We're not proud in our race.
The whole race thing.
And wait a minute, because you know what? I want to say something.
Everything once again is just ego. It's ego. We got pride in ourselves. We have pride in our sneakers. We got pride in how we dress, but we ain't having pride.
Well, listen, can I
let me add this. And I was thinking about it, and I said, you know, back in the '90s, I remember in the '90s when we were all wearing our fly clothes and all of that, when clothes were actually fly to wear. And and I can remember all of our designers, when we had the Carl Canais, when we had the FUBU, where we had Cross Colors, where we had Fat Farm, we later had Sean John, and later on Rockefeller.
All black,
and you know, all
Maurice Malone.
All of that.
Conscious Brothers.
Oh, I remember those. I mean, listen.
Cross Colors.
There was a time that we had our own style of dress. We don't have that anymore, because you know what? I see a lot of our young black folk. Where's our creativity? Where's the style that we invented? Where's our own style? Because you know what? In the 90s, and I remember it very well because I loved it, we had our own sense of fashion. When we wore something, we made it our own.
But we got less than a minute left. Brother Equali, you on Facebook? Brother Equali. Hello?
I think we lost him.
I think we lost him.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got Equali. Listen, brother, if you are on Facebook, I need you to look me up or drop a message on the menu. I want to talk to you about something. But LB, brother, Lady
yeah.
T, Big Red, King Dog,
yeah.
thank you. We must do this again. LB, I'm about
yeah.
to send you a message in a few. We got to
okay.
build a little something. And,
oh, yeah.
yo, this has
yeah.
been a good one. Another
yeah.
one in the can. And listen. Education, you know what I'm saying? What
Absolutely.
You said, Red? What you said, Red? That's what your mama. That's what your mama said. That's what your mama said. That's the.
That's
mm-hmm.
right. That's what she said. What she said.
All right, y'all. Y'all have a good night.
All right, have
yeah.
a good night, guys.
Good night, y'all.
In the can.
Later.
Later. Later.